an acclaimed film director, a producer, an editor, a screenwriter. He is an Emmy Award winner. He has also been nominated for an Oscar as well. He is on the faculty of New York University's Tisch School of the Arts, and he is the director of a new Netflix documentary titled Bill Russell Legend. It's going to be released next Wednesday, February 8th. My guest is Sam Pollard. Sam, it's really nice to have you on the program. How are you, Sam?
I'm good, Jim. How are you today?
Good, good. Good to visit with you. And I'm curious, based on the breadth of the subjects that you focused on in your distinguished career, I'm curious, how did you get involved in this project? And then, Sam, how much did it mean to you to ultimately be asked to direct it?
I was approached by one of the executive producers, Ross Greenberg, who used to be the president of HBO Sports. We had worked together before, and he asked if I'd be interested in directing a documentary, initially a series about Bill Russell. And, you know, Jim, I grew up in the 60s. So I was very familiar with Bill Russell, same name with his rivalry with Wilt Chamberlain, you know, and the other players from that period, like Bob Cousy and Oscar Robertson and Elgin Baylor. So this was like a no-brainer. I said yes immediately because, you know, I was interested in understanding who Bill Russell was besides being this great basketball legend.
You know, Sam, the last thing I want to do in talking to somebody like you about somebody like Bill Russell is make it about me. But if I can indulge you for one moment, I remember interviewing Bill Russell years ago, earlier in my career. And I can remember thinking at that time, really every time, but especially at that time, every single year, a few times a year, Sam, I feel like stakes or moments for me personally are much higher than they normally are. Like everything matters. Everything matters, but a couple of times a year, everything matters even more. I knew in that moment that speaking with Bill Russell was not only going to be one of the more significant moments of that year, but maybe of a career or a lifetime. This is how highly I regarded him and how desperate I was to earn his respect and not waste his time. I bring this up because I want to ask you, what was your approach the first time you met with him and what was that first encounter like?
Well, you know, he's at a stage in his life where I would say he probably wasn't as sharp as he had been maybe 4 or 5 years before. So he was sort of quiet. But what he was talking about when I spoke to him and I asked him a few questions, he really went back to his childhood days at McClendon High School, talked about his days at USF. And one of the things he really spoke about was the fact that the Harlem Globetrotters under the leadership of Abe Saperstein had tried to draft him after college. And his father said, my son will never play for the Harlem Globetrotters because he's throwing his clowns. And he stuck to his guns. Those are the things that I remember in meeting Bill and talking to him, you know, in this brief period of about the last year of his life.
Sam Pollard is joining us. So, Sam, the story of Bill Russell, of course, as you mentioned, transcends sports with his significant involvement in the civil rights movement. How did you attempt to balance sports with the larger societal impact he had, and was that challenging?
It was very challenging because we had to try to figure out how long should we stay on the segment adult with his basketball career, and when should we make the turn back to his activism, his civil rights activism, his human rights activism. So, for example, we knew that at a certain point when we dealt with the rivalry between Bill and Wilt Chamberlain on the court, we talked about it to a degree. Then we said, okay, now it's time to make the turn back to what else was happening for Bill in the mid-60s. And that was Dr. King's March on Washington. That was Charles Evers inviting Bill to go down to Jackson, Mississippi after the death of his brother, Meg Evers. Those were things we felt we had to deal with. And then as we unfolded that, you know, in telling storytelling, we decided, okay, let's get back to what happened to the Celtics by the time Bob Cousy had decided to retire. What would happen to the Celtics? That took us back to Bob Cousy announcing his retirement and the impact it would have on the Celtics and Bill Russell. You know, and it was this dance. Sometimes we had too much basketball before we went back to his activism. So we had the lessons on the basketball to get to the activism sooner. Sometimes we had too much backstory about it. Is civil rights and human rights activism. So we had to say, okay, we need to shorten that to get back to the basketball. So it wasn't like it was easy. It was a little bit of a dance.
You bet. Sam Pollard joining us. In fact, I'll do that dance myself. I'll kind of bounce back and forth. You mentioned Bill and Wilt on the court. How would you characterize that kind of, or that rivalry, that relationship? And then how did Bill view it?
It was an intense rivalry because here were the two most dominant centers in the game going up against each other, you know. And Bill knew he couldn't. He didn't have the height. He was only 6'9", and Chamberlain was 7'2". He knew that Chamberlain had more weight on him. And he knew he couldn't really stop Will Chamberlain from scoring points. But he could contain him to a degree as an offensive player where it would help the other Celtics score more points. And usually the Celtics would beat the, you know, the team that Will was on. So it was really understanding for Bill, it was about, it's not about your individual stats. It was about you being a part of a team. And that being a part of a team was something that had been drilled into these guys, into Sean and into Casey, into Sam, into later John Havlicek, by Ed Auerbach, because he knew it wasn't about just individuals. It was about the team effort, which would lead to winning games and which would lead to championships.
We were talking to Sam Pollard. So when you're talking championships, of course, you're talking about 11 championships in 13 years. Sam, with Tom Brady announcing his retirement, the so-called greatest of all time conversation comes up yet again. But when you assess the career of Bill Russell, is there any doubt that he was the greatest winner of all time going back to his college days at the University of San Francisco?
There's no doubt on my part that I bet you if you talk to someone of a younger generation, there would be, you know, every generation is going to have who they consider the greatest. I was saying to someone, if you're between the ages of 20 and 35, you say, who's the greatest of all time in basketball? I bet you 9 out of 10 people would say LeBron. If you're between 35 and 50, you ask people, they'd probably say Michael Jordan. My generation, I would say Bill Russell. So it's really hard to think who is the greatest of all time because the style of play, the skills you need to play the game, the athletic prowess, the exercise regimen that happens now. It's a different game. But, you know, a lot of the things that Bill Russell did on the court and off the court are things that players like Steph Curry and LeBron have taken to heart and understand that they, too, need to have a voice and not just shut up and dribble.
Sam Pollard joining us. Sam, in terms of Bill Russell off the floor, he was an absolute icon and the city's most decorated champion ever, but the city of Boston was dealing with some serious racial issues while the Celtics were stacking those world championships. That said, how would you describe Bill's relationship with the city of Boston?
Well, it wasn't the one that was conducive to him smiling. I mean, probably why he has a major chip on his shoulder. Here's the guy who comes out of the Olympics, winning gold, gets drafted by the Celtics, and basically becomes the linchpin for leading the Celtics to win 11 championships in 13 seasons. Now, you would think that the Boston fans would embrace him, you know, without any question. But no, they didn't. When there was polls taken, people asking about who's the best player on the Celtics, most of that crowd would say Mr. Bob Cousy, the Houdini of the hardwood, because he was a white man who played an extraordinary game of basketball. No taking away from Bob Cousy. But if it wasn't for Bill Russell being the dominant offensive center, a defensive center, the Celtics would have won all those championships. But the audience, you know, the people are attracted to someone who looks like them, who sounds like them, so they went with Bob Cousy.
I remember the first time I sat with Bob Cousy as well, and that was even long before I met Bill Russell. I mean, he was such a unique figure as well. I'm curious, what was it like for you to sit with Bob Cousy? And if you had asked Cousy at that time who the most dominant or most critical component or player on that team was, what would Cousy have said?
Well, the first interviews we did, Jim, was with Bob Cousy and Ty Chandler, two of Bill's teammates. And it was, for me, an extraordinary pleasure to sit, you know, in front of Bob Cousy and to later sit in front of Ty Chandler. But what Bob Cousy said in the interview, and he says in the film, he says when Bill first came to the Celtics, I was the man. And then after a few years, Bill Russell became the man. Bob Cousy understood how important Bill Russell to the team was, how important he was to the team, and why he was the man after a certain number of years, and not Cousy.
I think that's cool, Sam, though, you sat down, even you, given what you've accomplished in the life you've lived, that when you sat in front of Bob Cousy, that you kind of had that kind of feeling. Was there anybody else? I mean, some of the biggest names in the history of the sport sat down for this doc. Magic, Larry Bird, Dr. J, Bill Bradley, Bob Cousy, Isaiah, Bill Walton. Was there anybody else who sat down that you spoke to that who really stood out or said anything that shocked or surprised you?
Well, Bill Walton is an extraordinary, funny man, complicated man. He lives in a man cave that's a whole house in San Diego. He has paraphernalia and memorabilia from the Celtics and the Grateful Dead. You know, and he was just so great about his love for the Celtic Green and Red Auerbach and Bill Russell, you know, extraordinary. I mean, to sit before Oscar Robertson was a pleasure, was a real pleasure for me. To sit in front of, you know, an interview Isaiah, Bill Bradley, and Walt Frazier and Earl Monroe, whoa, man. I grew up in the city of New York where the Knicks, the 60s, were the team to be at a certain point in the late 60s, early 70s. So sitting in front of Walt Frazier and sitting in front of, you know, Earl Monroe, wow. I couldn't ask anything better.
Yeah, Sam, I'd say the same thing. You know, I come from that generation. When you lay that out, like if you're of this age, then you're a LeBron person. If you're this age, you're an MJ guy. I'm an MJ guy, at least from that generation. I'm a Kobe guy, too, because Kobe and I live pretty close by in Orange County here in California. But when you mention Oscar Robertson, you know, we could talk about Bill Russell is unparalleled in what he did off of the floor, but I had a similar experience when I sat with Oscar Robertson for the first time as I did when I sat with Bill Russell. They do not suffer fools, and you do not waste their time. These are very serious gentlemen. What about Oscar Robertson? What do you think about him as a player and
same
a man?
Same thing, man.
Same thing, right?
Very serious man. You know, he came in, he sat down in Florida. We were in Orlando. He sat down, he did the interview. He was succinct to the point. You know, he was fantastic. It was just fantastic to me. You know, and you know, I'd seen Oscar Robertson play. But wow, man. Sit in front of Oscar Robertson, wow. To sit in front of Bill Bradley and Walt Frazier, woo, man.
Bill Bradley, too, man. So I sat with him years ago. Fascinating. Sam, I'm getting a huge kick out of how much of a kick you got out of sitting with these guys. But, you know, in terms of being a journalist and a director, you're also obviously a huge fan at heart. Let me finally ask you, from a sports perspective, we're never going to see another Bill Russell in terms of somebody winning 11 championships, not the way the NBA is set up, not with all the parity. No. We know this. But from a larger context, do you think we'll ever see an individual who will replicate his impact beyond sports, and especially in a divisive era in which we currently live?
I don't think so. I think he's unique. He's one of a kind. And I don't think there'll ever be anyone who'll break that mold and follow him. Not to the same degree.
I agree.
Not to the same degree at all.
This documentary is in two parts. Sam, one last thought. Was it hard, given how much he accomplished on and off the floor, to break this doc or this film into two parts and get it all in? Because I would imagine there were plenty more episodes that you could have done.
Yeah, I mean, we could have done probably six episodes. But sometimes, you know, you do things in sequences that you think impactful can just drag on. So we had to make some decisions, which you always have to do. And I think it's at the right length and right time now. Initially, it was going to be 4 one-hour shows. And then we decided, with the consultation with Netflix, to bring it into two films, which I think serves the material and serves Bill Russell even better.
The documentary is called Bill Russell, Legend. It's going to be released next Wednesday, February 8th. It's a Netflix documentary. He is an acclaimed film director. He is a producer, an editor, a screenwriter, an Emmy Award winner, Oscar nominated as well. He is Sam Pollard. Sam, great to have you on the show. Thank you very much. I enjoyed that conversation. Thank you.
My pleasure, too. Take care.
You too, Sam. Sam Pollard.